sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
And what is your name, sir?
My name's Jose V. Lopez.
Okay, Mr. Lopez, the Honorable Mr. Gowanus is going to conduct your hearing. He's going to serve as a lead for your hearing. I say conduct your hearing, so if you can just go on, he will be right with you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lopez, just give me one moment.
Excuse me?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Just one second, sir. Before we get started, I have one individual who is here from Mr. Lopez, is that correct? Is there anyone else from Mr. Lopez? Show hands. Okay, Mr. Lopez. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your full name and AODC number for the record?
My name is Jose Villegas Lopez. My ADC number is 057758.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 3412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on your video conference screen, I will begin with the opposite side of our bench. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. White. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin your hearing with the following summary. Mr. Jose Lopez, ADC number 057758, is 54 years old. On March 3rd, 1986, Mr. Lopez made an offered plea and was sentenced to life for murder in the first degree. This crime occurred on or about October 4, 1985. He was approximately 20 years old at the time of the instant offense. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Lopez?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. He appealed his case, and his conviction was affirmed on April 30, 1987. He has a criminal history which includes trespassing and disorderly conduct. He has been parole eligible since February 4, 2011. According to Ames, Mr. Lopez has received considerable programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections with numerous certificates provided as case file. We'll also read a short summary of the offense in question. On October 4th, 1985, between 8 and 9 p.m., the victim, Macario Suarez, 19 years old, was murdered by George Lopez and Jose Lopez in the vacant lot at 2500 West Polk during an apparent robbery attempt. The cause of death was multiple stab wounds to the body and multiple blows to the head. George Lopez and Jose Lopez then tied the victim's hands and feet and put the victim in the trunk of the victim's vehicle and drove to 2500 West Durango, where they threw the body into a canal, retaining the victim's wallet, money, and vehicle. The body of Macario Suarez was found in the canal at 800 South 77th Avenue on October 5th, 1985 at approximately 1:30 p.m. Mr. Lopez has a moderate history of discipline in the Arizona Department of Corrections from 1986 through 2018, with his last ticket a minor on December 18, 2018 for borrow trading. But to his credit, his last ticket, a major, was 7 years prior on November 29, 2011 for positive or refusal to UA. He submitted a detailed release plan, which includes living with his fiance and pursuing work as a painter. Again, Mr. Lopez, does this sound correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is his 13th hearing before the board. There are numerous letters of support in his parole packet, and it doesn't appear that we have a letter of opposition. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure we don't. And I always state that, Mr. Lopez, because sometimes the prosecutor's office will send letters of opposition. So, Mr. Lopez, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, sir.
Sir, yes, sir. 1985, I was a mess. I was full of anger. I was, you know, I didn't know myself. I was a 20-year-old young man. You know, one night I go to a party and, you know, I ended up killing a man. I killed a man, you know, and I can't, you know, I relived that dream. I've been living, reliving that dream for 33 years. You know, I know, you know, I have no criminal background to speak of, really, you know. A little minor offense of, you know, trespassing in my own house with my mother's house one time. And, you know, I was all a mess, really. And I still don't understand why I did, you know, kill this man. I tried and tried, you know, to recount every aspect of my life. You know, I have not, you know, lived a life, you know, that was no right for me to take anybody's life either, Mr. Mercado Suarez's life. I try and try the best I can, you know, to recount everything that's happened to me. You know, I was in a bad place. I wasn't, you know, I felt the love, but I don't think that I was loved. But at the same time, I look at myself now and, you know, I can recount that 20-year-old young man 33 years ago. You know, I wish I could go back in time, you know, to speak to that young man. That young man is dead to me now. You know, I have no violence, you know, in prison. I have not hurt nobody. I don't, you know, I go the other way. I cannot, I turn the other cheek. I've done so much in prison that, you know, I wish it would have been like this, the part of my life out there with society. You know, everything I've done to better myself. I've done that. But at the same time, you know, I still have that lingering feeling. I have that sickness in my stomach that I killed a man. And I can never recount or bring that back. I wish I could, but I can't. You know, my time has been schooling programs, you know, jobs. But at the same time, I can never fill that void. I'm never going to fill that void, even for his family. You know, I understand all the suffering and the pain my actions have caused. You know, I'm truly remorseful for, you know, for taking this man's life. You know, I know what it is to lose a loved one. You know, I've recently, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years, you know, I lost brothers, I lost my mother. You know, I can understand a bit of the pain that this family feels, but I can never understand, you know, any kind of forgiveness is going to come my way. There's no way that I can, you know, express and keep expressing that I'm sorry and remorseful for everything that's happened. You know, every time I come to these boards, I know they must relive, you know, the death of their father, you know, a husband, a loved one. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, I have, you know, emotions just like they do too, you know. I've devastated so much lives. You know, even my own family, his family, you know, and then I can never make amends for that. I've tried and tried anything I could, you know, to make myself feel better, but nothing's gonna ever happen that way. I have to live with myself. I have to live with this crime that I've committed. And that's never going to go away as long as I live. You know, I spent all the time I can to try to do the best things I could, do good things. You know, and it's not feeling anything. You know, if there's a glimmer of light or any kind of the smallest forgiveness that I can have for their family, you know, that's the best way I can console them. You know, I understand that there would be no forgiveness. I understand that. But it's hard. It's hard. It's very, very hard. I can't. I just can't. And I've tried and tried and tried. You know, I've turned my life around. I truly have. I'm no longer that man. You know. And, you know, I thank the Lord above that He's turned my life around. I'm not that violent man anymore. I would not ever harm anybody the rest of my life. I would never do that again. You know, I'm trying to be a productive member of society. You know, I wanna be out there, pay taxes. I wanna go to work. You know, I like to live my life with my family. But I know that's no consolation to his family, my victims. I know that.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. I noticed that you submitted quite a few certificates. A lot of them seem to be with substance abuse awareness. And I also noticed that you had a positive refusal 7 years ago, or over 7 years ago. So were you having some problems with substance abuse inside the Department of Corrections?
No, sir. Back in 2011, you know, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I ended up smoking a marijuana cigarette, which I paid dearly for. My board was taken for a whole year. You know, I ended up going to a class 3, you know, for 60, 90 days, and my board was something like two weeks away. You know, that's what happened to me. I have never touched it ever since 2011. I've been, you know, producing urinalysis testings till all the way to 2018. I just took one back in December. It just passed. You know, I passed every UA that I ever had. You know, this is 26 years after the fact. You know, my first 30 UA. I have no substance abuse problem whatsoever. You know, I want to be knowledgeable about any kind of substance abuses. You know, that's why I've taken all these classes. I was never required to take in these classes. I did it for my self-help. Everything I've done is for my self-help, to become a better man.
Well, I certainly commend you for that. Going back in your own history of discipline, you had some threatening staff. I'm only going with the majors. Some drug possession in 99. Disobeying an order in 99. And then it seems to have tapered off, so it looks like somewhere along the way you turned the corner inside the Department of Corrections and seem to have had less discipline, which again I commend you for. Were you using drugs or alcohol when you were young and were involved in crime or when you did this crime?
Yes, I you know, I drank a little, you know, occasionally, but I smoked mainly marijuana is what I've done. That was my vice, sir.
Then why do you think you had this capacity for such a violent crime when you were 20 years old, or at least being involved in it?
Well, sir, I think it stems from, you know, growing up with eight brothers. You know, I was a child of a mother that, you know, she was a single parent. She was never around, you know, but I've accepted that because she worked to support us. You know, there was times when I come home, my brothers would beat me, you know, and you know, I still had that feeling in me because, you know, if I wouldn't do nothing right, you know, my brothers would stay home and, you know, they were supposed to clean the house, clean the yard and everything. You know, me and my little baby brother, you know, we were 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, we had to do all the chores around the house while my brothers run around and sort of lollygagged, you know, and got away from their chores, you know, and people would come play at my house. My brothers wouldn't even let me out the house, sir. You know, because they didn't want me to get dirty and have to take another bath again because of my mother coming home and wanting us to be clean. You know, I stored up a lot of anger at that time. You know, I never forgiven my brothers for that. You know, I mean, I'm still deeply hurt from that, sir. You know, and I just can't shake it.
Well, sir, you appeared before this board 12 times previously, and this board did not see you fit to return to the community consistently. So has there been some sort of change in you in these recent years? Because you're sounding like an individual who has put a lot of thought and effort into where you've arrived.
Yes, sir.
Were you someplace else?
Excuse me?
Were you in a different mind frame 12 years ago?
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've, you know, sometimes, you know, I can't remember certain things, you know, because it's been so long. But at the same time, I still remember all the hurtful things that happened to me.
What caused the recent infraction? I know it's a minor, for bartering or bartering trading. What caused that?
Sir, I got here in Douglas, Arizona, a new prison. Well, it's an old prison, but I got here in October. And when I got here, there were some appliances that were lost. And, you know, there was a young kid that went home here and he gave me a CD player, you know. And that CD player was somewhere else when the yard closed. So they searched this guy's house and they found my CD player over there. You know, knowing that I should have never accepted it anyway. You know, so they gave me a ticket for bartering and trading. They gave me a minor ticket after explaining to the captain here. You know, he understood what happened. But at the same time, I should have never even took the CD player. That's how I received my write-up, sir.
Thank you. I don't see any notations in Ames, but you've been inside the Department of Corrections for a long time. And I'll be careful how I ask this because we do worry about your security when people are involved in prison politics. But did you get involved in prison politics at all when you were inside the Department of Corrections?
When I began my sentence, sir, you know, I ended up going to Central Unit, the Walls. You know, I was immediately locked up, you know, which is a building called CB3, which had segregation. My segregation consisted of being in CB3, you know, being around gangsters, thugs, killers, rapists, arsonists. You know, I've never, you know, experienced prison or nothing in my life, so, you know, they were sitting there evaluating me the whole time, but I have never, I say this real adamant, I have never, you know, deal with prison politics. I've seen what it does to people. You know, it turns somebody into a monster. I don't want to be that monster or any kind of animal, sir. You know, I stood away from them the whole time. I am not a gang member. I don't have STG points. I can't deny the people that I know, but at the same time, it doesn't define me as a person that I am now. It does not. But I would never be in a gang. I would not, you know, even associate with them anymore. That's why I'm in this IHP program now, for an integrated housing project now. Program, that's what's being offered right now. And over here when I'm in Douglas, Arizona.
If I may ask you, just for a little education for myself, is Douglas the integrated yard, or is that a program throughout the system?
It's an integrated yard, an IHP yard. Everybody has to be IHP compliant, sir.
Well, that's outstanding. I certainly commend you for that.
Thank you.
Am I correct that you received your GED inside?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have completed my GED. Yes, I have. Back in 2007.
And what else have you done to develop yourself, sir?
Well, I've taken numerous programs, you know, all the way from IHV awareness, all the way to understanding angry feelings, all the way to networking systems, all the way to computers, you know, all AA, you know, NAs. I took in numerous classes, you know, and, you know, I even facilitated some of them with my bosses, you know. And, you know, I've been into a lot of mentor programs, you know, where I mentor young students, you know, to change their lives. You know, I'm trying to do something positive now. You know, they don't have to make the same mistakes that I've made. But I've done numerous programs. I have something like, I don't know, 32, 36 programs that I completed. Every one of them I have been awarded a certificate. My last certificate that I've done was last year was a reentry program when I was in Steiner, which is in Buckeye, Arizona.
Well, again, I commend you for submitting a detailed release plan. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. A couple of questions from fellow board members. Mr. Lopez, you have a supporter in the room, and I'll ask again, is it just one person? Just one person? Would you like to speak on behalf of Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
If you could come to the front of the hearing room, up to the podium, and when you get to the microphone, can you state your full name?
Yeah, my name is Jessica Varela Rojas.
Thank you. And what would you like to share with the board, then?
I'd like to share with the board to see if my fiancé will be eligible or granted to be released, to come home and give him all the support I can give it to my visa, but supporting him for 10 years. We've been together for 10 years. And we've been engaged for 10 years. Don't want to get married to prison. Just waiting for him to come home because I want my family to be in our way. So I'm asking him to see if he can get a second chance to come home, and I'll help him any way I can. I work, I'm a working lady. I work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. And I love my job. I work for ABN as a janitor, and I love it. And I would like to see the board members will be supportive if he can get out or get released from house arrest. I don't know, they'll break everything. House arrest and go arrest, that's all, everything's the same. Because to me, I think he did a lot of years already, and he already paid the prison. But I understand about the victims. I understand about them. Because I went through that with his big brother when he got shot in California. And I just lost my sister 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. And I had to go to Tucson. But it hurts. I'm still hurting for my brother and my sister. You see the family and the cancer moms. And I've been a breast cancer survivor for 9 years already. So I'm here to see, to support my fiance. See if he can get a second chance to come home and leave his life out there with me.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for your losses, and secondly, I'm glad to hear you're a survivor. That's always uplifting to hear people beating such a savage disease.
It's hard.
And I also want to commend you for being so supportive of your loved one. I recognize it's probably been a long 10 years. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? Any more questions from fellow board members? Ma'am, thank you for appearing before the board today.
Okay.
And we will continue the hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lopez, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before the board goes into discussion and votes on your case? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say that, you know, I'm very sorry to the Suarez family for causing the death of Mercado Suarez. There's no way that I can ever make any type of amends for the loss of this man. I've tried and tried and have any kind of hope that one day, you know, there can be a slight forgiveness in any way. just wish that this never happened. I'm so sorry, and I apologize for any hurt that I've caused his family. And I just want them to know that I'm sincere in what I'm saying, because I'm still hurt. I'm a little broken inside, but at the same time, I've learned to, you know, to suppress that, and in just a little way, just to make me feel better to get through the day. And I just want everybody to know that how sincere I am, and how apologetic and humble I am. And then I hope that the parole board can see that I'm no longer that young man anymore. I'm getting older, and you know, I just you know, have my hope, and one day that maybe somebody would see me and judge me for the man I am today, not the man I used to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. And I do want to say this. I don't know what's in your heart or mind. I'm an independent voting board member. I can't really tell just by looking at someone or hearing their voice about where they're at in their rehabilitation. But I do want to thank you for giving such a sincere apology, because I was saying, sometimes we hear them, sometimes we don't, but sometimes we hear them and they're not very convincing, or sometimes we don't hear them at all. So I do find it meaningful that you have apologized and are showing some accountability for the crime and for the victim. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself and the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board's now in discussion. For the board members, for lack of a better word, this has been a very humble hearing from Mr. Lopez. I don't recall our past discussions with him. I do know that this is a serious crime. It was a very violent crime, and I'm sure it was a shock to the community. Certainly not to make this about me, but growing up in Phoenix, there was always that concern about finding a body in the canal. It just seemed that it was a very common dumping ground for violent crime, and it's something that I certainly remember as a native of this valley. Mr. Lopez has been inside the Department of Corrections for quite some time. I do appreciate that he's done quite a bit of programming. He submitted a very good and detailed release plan. He has the support of a fiance, a desire to work, and I really do hope that he was sincere when he gave that apology and statement for remorse for what he's done. I'm kind of on the fence on this one, only in that I recognize that the gravity of this crime is quite great, but I'm also considering as to whether Mr. Lopez is really arriving this year and maybe a candidate for possible supervised release, and that's where we begin the discussion. Yes, the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Excuse me. I think Mr. Lopez has a good parole plan. He does have family support. There's numerous letters in the file that he has. He has gone back and take his GED along with some other program that he has. I think Mr. Lopez was pretty sincere in his apology and his statements about the time that he's actually served in prison, and that it's a place that he never want to go back to. Again, he's been active in providing some support programs while he's been incarcerated, and I would be willing to give Mr. Lopez another chance to go out on home arrest.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree with Mr. Johnson. I think Mr. Lopez is statements and remorse are very sincere. And I accept his explanation about his discipline in the prison. I mean, I understand how the CD player thing can work. That happens. And his marijuana use was way back in 2011, which I think, after all this time, I think that can be forgiven. And he says he hasn't used since. So I could be in support of home arrest. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And I'll follow up by saying this, too. I stated that I was on the fence, but sometimes it is important to hear the whole, because what I was really thinking, and I will say this in the open, was, is it just me, or does this guy sound really sincere? And it sounds like that it did resonate. So I'll continue the discussion. Anything, Mr. Neal?
No.
Dr. Ray? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see how this board votes, as we're all independent, and have our own worldviews. So, my motion is to, just give me 1 second, to deny regular parole or absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And again, that's unanimous for granting home arrest, but denying regular parole or absolute discharge. And I need to make some notes here for conditions of release, and that is to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. I'm going to just check this for the sake of checking this. I don't believe that there was anything to do with sex offenders associated with this case, but just in the case that there's some sort of history that I'm not aware of, I'll just check the box. Needs assessment and referral as to he will be making a very challenging return to the community. Of course, no alcohol use. Random tests for drugs and alcohol. He may not operate a motor vehicle, and that does not mean indefinitely, but in your transition, we're not allowing this yet. No contact with the victim family, must pay any restitution, and that's the one thing that was shorter. I haven't ever seen restitution in this case, but there was, you're certainly responsible for that, Mr. Lopez. Abide by institutional rules, partake in the programming, supervision fees will be $65 a month after 60 days. And a couple of notes just to make sure here, because Mr. Lopez, there can be delays in the release if the Department of Corrections sees that there's problems with the transition. And what I'm talking about is making sure that you have safe housing or that your funds are covered. But I will ask just to make sure, especially while we have your fiance in the room, will you be able to handle your first 2 months of living expenses when you return to the community, Mr. Lopez? Mr. Lopez?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, will you be able to handle your first 2 months of living expenses when you return to the community?
Okay. Yes, sir.
And again, the parole office will determine whether or not you can live, or you know what location you're able to live in. You stated that your intention is to live with a fiance. So again, I think they'd like to have an address, ma'am. Is there an address that you can provide in this document? Are you okay with giving that? If you can come to the front. Right, and if you can state your name again.
Jessica Mariela Cruz.
And what is the address?
129 Ninth Avenue.
Is that a house?
No, it's the, I think it's number two.
Oh, number two. Here in Phoenix? Zip?
85 South Avenue.
Thank you. Okay, you may sit down. We just need to make sure. Okay, Mr. Lopez, we're about to bring this hearing to a close.
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
I was sad with one question on the sex offense dates on that. I'm just not in agreement with put that on there. He doesn't have.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, I was just checking it because I didn't think it mattered.
It would matter to his placement, what he would have to do.
Okay. Okay, I think that's only like if they apply, but I'll just strike that.
There's an any indication.
Yeah, and I checked it faster than I could like take it back, so I'll just scratch it out.
Okay.
All I'm saying is it was, it's a block. So, okay, Mr. Lopez, we're coming to the close of your hearing. Again, you've heard that we unanimously voted to grant home arrest, so we do wish you a safe and successful transition back to the community. We recognize it's been a long time. It could be a shock coming back to the community, especially with all the technology that exists that wasn't there before. It's been a long time. And I'm hoping that the support of your fiance will help. And we also often give this advice too, and that is regarding you being granted home arrest, I wouldn't discuss it with your fellow inmates as we would hate to see someone trying to undermine your transition from prison to the community. So I'd keep it to yourself and certainly continue to abide by all conditions. You're not out yet, and you are reminded that when you're on home arrest status, you will certainly have more freedom than you do now, but you will still be considered a prisoner, or you'll still be considered a prisoner inside the Department of Corrections. You'll just be in the community with an ankle bracelet. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Well, then, we wish for your success, and we look forward to seeing you again before this board when you're certified eligible to actually appear before this board for a status in the coming months, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any further information from our colleagues? Okay, Mr. Lopez, we're going to bring the hearing to a close. Thank you, sir. Good luck.
Thank you very much.